Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hi, everyone. It's Belinda Ellsworth, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I've got a great guest in store for you today, Orlando Rios. Orlando is an online marketer, podcast host, and producer of Total Human Optimization and the Aubrey Marcus podcast. Best known for his work with the health and fitness lifestyle brand Onnit, Orlando has extensive experience in helping companies increase their revenue through social and search advertising in Facebook, AdWords, Twitter, and Instagram. He is also a leader in podcast producing and the author of the podcast book, The Go-To Guide on Discovering Your Next Favorite Podcast and the Who's Who of Podcasters. The 2017 edition of the podcast book features over 600 recommended listings, including the year's top picks, host, runtime, and frequency information. With 208 pages, it's the ultimate podcast guide. Additionally, Orlando's site, podcastingpro.com, gives free education on podcast producing and profiles of other leaders in the podcast industry. It is my pleasure to welcome today Orlando Rios.
Thanks, Belinda, for having me. Thanks for the really long intro. I think everybody already knows what I do now.
Well, that's awesome. But we're so excited to hear your story. That's always the fun part of it all. Great bios are great. They give us an overview, but it's the story that is always counts. So why don't you start out by just filling us in a little bit about your journey and just about your story?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, for the last 4 or 5 years, I've been an online marketer for Onnit, the company you mentioned earlier on in the show. And it's been great. I've learned a lot of cool marketing techniques and ways, you know, to increase revenue for companies doing cool things on social media, you know, using ads and organic content to make that happen. But one of the greatest ways of organic content that I discovered to increase revenue and increase site traffic and all that fun web jargon is through podcasting. And, you know, we started our own podcast maybe about 4.5 years ago here called Total Human Optimization. And it's a health podcast where we interview, you know, leaders in the health space and help people become the best versions of themselves. And through that, you know, I discovered a love of podcasting. I thought the platform was great. And, you know, gives a way for, you know, people to share their thoughts easier than ever before. You know, with podcasting, there's no regulations, there's no red tape. Anybody can do it. And with that, I decided to try to help people, you know, start their own podcast, which led me to starting podcastingpro.com. And recently, as you mentioned, come out with the book, the podcast book, to help people find more podcasts to listen to. So, you know, here I am today on your show and you know, it's great. You know, podcasting just allows people to do so many things. So, you know, that's a quick and easy answer for you. I hope that wasn't too much.
Not at all. Why don't you take us back, though, to the beginning? Kind of give us a little bit of background. So before you've had your successful business with Onnit and before you did your book and the podcasting. So just give us a little bit of history. People always like to know where people came from.
For sure. So, you know, my entrepreneurial history started really young, actually, probably around 17, 18. I became really fascinated with a certain style of music they call rockabilly. And for those that are not familiar with rockabilly, it's kind of like a 50s style music. Elvis would fall into that, Carl Perkins, Jerry Lee Lewis, you know, those old time 50s rockers. And, you know, this is around the time where, you know, the internet was getting big, you know, the .com era started. And I was really into journalism at the time and realized that there was no magazine or no, you know, website really devoted to rockabilly, the music that I had come to really love. So at that early age, I actually started my own publication, which was known as Rockabilly Magazine. And around that time, you know, my just as I graduated high school, my father passed away, and I kind of felt a need to really go do something great and felt like I had to make him proud in some way. And that was my drive to make that magazine happen. So fast forward a couple of years into my early 20s, not really paying attention to college, although I was in it. My full attention was definitely on the magazine, and it became successful. I got distribution from, you know, big stores, and, you know, at the time Tower Records was a big magazine distributor, and Barnes & Noble, and even I got into a clothing store, Hot Topic, which you can find in any mall. You know, I was one of only 10 magazines they sold there nationwide. And, you know, that grew, and I was able to support myself on that magazine for 6-7 years until the dot-com bust and the credit collapse and when print publishing kind of went downhill for periodicals. That was a tough time. And, you know, that's a time that I had to kind of pick myself up. I felt kind of like a failure, and, you know, my personal identity was attached to being the owner and editor of that magazine. And, you know, I kind of felt like, you know, I didn't know where I was going to go from there. I didn't know what to do. But, you know, I kind of picked myself up and decided that, you know what, there's life after failure. And I decided to pick myself up and decided to do something even grander, something even further reaching than having, you know, a nationally published magazine. And that was, for me, creating a musical event here in Austin, Texas, that was called the Revival Festival. And, you know, I didn't have any money, and all I had was ideas, but, you know, I put it together and made it happen. I had a 4 or 5 year long running music festival that had thousands of people coming to Austin to my downtown musical grounds, and had, you know, a 2-day music festival with some of the best rockabilly bands there is, and even had one of my heroes, Jerry Lee Lewis, headline one of the shows. And there I went and continued on and just pressed forward. And now I'm here at Onnit, one of the top growing health and fitness companies in the world. And I've been here since the very beginning. I was one of the first 15 employees, and here we are now over 200, and, you know, we have guys like The Rock sharing our products on his Instagram.
That is awesome. That's a great story. I enjoyed that. My husband does a lot of recording, and so one of the gentlemen he's been recording forever is in that genre of music in rockabilly. So that's fun. That's interesting. You don't hear a lot of people that's their favorite genre of music. So I love that. All right. So tell us a little bit about then how the business has shaped your lifestyle, because that's kind of what our program is all about, this sort of love what you do. And then what kind of lifestyle does that create from that?
You know, it's interesting when, you know, I think of most of your listeners are entrepreneurs or creative types. A lot of them tend to be really, how do I say this? You know, they don't like failure. They don't like, you know, waiting for something to happen. They're the type of people that when they have an idea, before they go to bed, that's all they can think of. And it holds up their sleep because their idea is so new and everything's coming at them at one time, and they have to make that idea happen immediately. So for me, it's definitely added some stress to my life. But, you know, the key to balancing that out is exactly that, finding something that helps ease that a little bit. Because if, you know, if you're an idea person, a creative person, you're going to have more stress in life. That's just the way it is. You know, if you're not an idea person, not a creative person, you know, you're more carefree, go with the flow, but, you know, you're not likely to be the type of person that's going to go out and make, you know, exciting things happen. So for me, you know, working at Onnit, a health and fitness place, that's been health and fitness, that's been exercise and finding things that allow me to break off some energy and explore athletics, which, you know, as a 33-year-old, you know, is starting to get tougher every year, but I'm, you know, I do it the best I can. And, you know, stuff like joining a soccer team. I play soccer 3 times a week now, and it's a great way to to relieve some stress and to really push myself and have another challenge. So, you know, that's probably what it mostly is, you know, balancing your drive that you have to make things happen with a little bit of the other to make sure you stay sane.
Good. And that is certainly important. I know this last year, health and fitness has become a major part of my game plan, and which it has not been. And it's amazing at how much better I feel that it flows into everything else that I do. So it's pretty incredible, actually. So what are two skill sets or your greatest skill sets that you think have been helpful to you in owning your own business?
To narrow it down to two, I would have to say, that's so tough. If you said today, in today's world, I would say the skill set that's most important is Facebook. It's the leader of everything now. To give you an example, you know, some of my personal businesses, you know, I used to devote probably 90% of my funds towards advertising on Google and AdWords, and now that's wholeheartedly shifted to Facebook. So, and I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. So knowing how to do advertising on Facebook, if you're a business owner of any sort or have any entrepreneurial drive to do something that involves sales or leads, then Facebook is definitely number one skill that needs to be learned. And I'm not talking about just, you know, posting on a public profile. I'm talking about knowing their ads platform. It's Yep. not that complicated. Anybody can learn it. And when you do, right now, the sky's the limit. It's the number one skill. I don't even feel like I need to add a number two, because that's been my number one focus now for the last six months to 12 months.
Great. So is there another one that's kind of maybe more a like personal development, like you feel like you're really able to focus, or you're super organized, or you have a really good positive attitude? Or is there one that is kind of that more of that personal development that you think, you know what, this is a strength of mine that I'm really good at?
I would say, You know, and I'm going to laugh as I say this because, you know, I don't think I'm a great writer. You know, I realize I have two books out now, but I'm not a great writer. But I think the fact that you can get into a quiet place and put thoughts down on paper, or in our world case, you know, put it on a document on Google or whatever it is, is a good skill to have. And, you know, I think it's a good skill for people to practice, you know, writing. You know, whether you're good at it or not, everybody has something they want to say. So writing is definitely another skill. And, you know, as we talked about podcasting earlier on, you know, if you really hate to put the pen to the paper or your fingers to the keyboard, that's where podcasting comes into play. And, you know, as you know, that's one of my big strengths is podcasting. You know, you don't have to know how to write. All you do have to know how to do is open your mouth and talk.
Right.
And maybe somebody's listening, maybe somebody's not, but it's fun to do.
Great. So sharing that, like, what's one of your most outstanding accomplishments, something that you've achieved that is super meaningful to you?
I would say definitely the release of this latest book, the podcast book. You know, I've come out with another guide before on how to start a podcast. You can find it on Amazon. It's under two names, actually, Podcasting Pro Basics and also Start a Podcast. Start a Podcast is a newer release of that. But, you know, releasing this latest one, the 200-plus page book, as I mentioned, I'm not a writer. I took 4 or 5 months and organized and researched all these things, all these podcasts, for months, trying to decide, you know, which are probably the best listens for an audience in each category. And it took a lot of time. It was tedious. It was a pain in the butt. You know, I have a full-time job, and, you know, I have all these activities outside of my job too that take a lot of my time. But it was finding the hour here, finding the hour there, you know, finding time on the weekend when I could, when I wasn't doing anything for fun, to get in and organize and put it together. And, you know, I did everything with the book. I not only organized and researched it, but I also laid it out, you know, had the cover design and all that stuff, and launched it myself entirely to Amazon, you know, one man show. So once that finally hit the publish button and that became available, and I started seeing some sales come through Amazon, you know, recently, that's probably my most proud accomplishment. And, you know, however good it does, you know, it doesn't matter. The whole thing's not about making money. The whole thing is about accomplishing something and, you know, trying to offer people something that is useful. And, you know, that's always the philosophy I try to maintain. It's not always about making money. You know, a lot of times it's just accomplishing it and making sure you're offering somebody, you know, something of value.
Don't you think, or have you found over the years, I know I certainly have, that if you put, you know, service first, like people always, I don't want to be a pushy salesperson or whatever. I always just tell people, if you come from a place of service, you know, first, what value can I add? What can I offer? How can I help people? The money almost always follows that. But I think when people go after something for just the money, how much money can I make doing this? A lot of times they'll fall short till they discover what value that they're offering or can bring. So I always find that the people that are the most successful are the ones that usually don't focus on the money, but focus on service. And then the money always ends up following.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And, you know, I've learned that through my personal ventures and, you know, also the company that I work for. You know, we always put customer service first and everything we do. And you're absolutely right. If you come from a place where you're trying to provide somebody a service or try and provide somebody information, you know, they're going to build trust in you. And that's what it's all about. You know, when you have trust mm-hmm. between consumer and business, you know, nothing can be broken. That's the key. And people are smart these days. You know, they know when they're being sold to. You know, they're more skeptical now than ever with things, you know, with all the review systems that we have in place that, you know, weren't there before. So, you know, you can be looked up on Google in a heartbeat and people can find out what kind of business you are. So, you know, or person, you know, whatever that may be. So you always want to make sure you're coming from a place of good. And I think if you follow that, even if the money doesn't come along with it, like, you know, like most times it will, you know, you can at least rest easy at night knowing that you're doing the right thing and people are getting something out of what you bring to this world.
That's great. So I know you've shared with us, my next question was a little bit about the obstacle, and you shared a little bit with us already about the collapse of the magazine and then kind of how you worked through that. Was there anything that you wanted to add to that story or that you felt like once you started doing the show, like what were some of the feelings associated with that? Because I think that's what people, when they're sharing a story, it's really easy to say, well, then I just did that and then that happened and that was successful. And it's like, gosh, what were some of the feelings or doubts that you had? And then how did you move through that? Because to go from having this magazine and then just saying, I'm going to start this music festival and I have absolutely no money, but I'm going to make it happen, which is a great testament. Oh my gosh, that's so exciting. But I know even when I listen to podcasts, it's like, what were some of those things in between? Like, because it's very difficult for a person listening going, well, how did you keep yourself going every day? Did you network with other people? How did you go about doing that? So I'd love it if you want to just expand on that story a little bit.
For sure. You know, I'll let you in on a little secret and a little story regarding the music festival. If you've ever been to a music festival, you know, of a caliber of, you know, 2,000 to 3,000 people, it's an expensive venture.
Yes.
To put into perspective, it costs anywhere, the way we were doing it, anywhere between $50,000 and $70,000 to produce, and that's just for a 1 day festival, and that includes, you know, the cost of the talent, the venue, and the marketing, the everything that comes along with it, right?
Yep.
So, as I mentioned, I didn't have that kind of money. You know, I don't come from a rich family. I don't come from a rich background at all. And, you know, the magazine had collapsed and, you know, so, you know, that income was still a little bit there, but, you know, it wasn't, you know, enough to cover such a bill. So, you know, I made a lot of these promises on my word and was in hope that, you know, the sponsorship money would come in and, you know, and at the end that the ticket money would come in to pay that bill. And there was one show that the night before the show, and you know, the way it works in the music industry, in the industry, in the concert industry, is a lot of times, you know, you'll pay half up front and you'll pay the rest on the night of the show. The night of the show, I was somewhere around $20,000 to $30,000 short of what I needed to pay the bands for, you know, the next night. So imagine the stress that was going through my mind. The things that were going through my mind, and some of them were kind of dark and scary, to tell you the truth. You know, like, what do I do? You know, do I run? You know, what do I do? How do I get out of this situation that I've put myself in? You know, I went for the gold and, you know, I'm two laps behind. And, and so what do you do? You know, and, I got to a point, you know, and I'll be blatantly honest, you know, I was, you know, crying my eyes out and scared, you know, my reputation was once again going to be destroyed with this. And I was going to disappoint everybody. And, you know, mostly the biggest thing that was going to hurt is I'm going to have my heroes that I hired to do this show utterly hate me forever. So, you know, what I did is I just went and hoped. And sometimes, Belinda, that's all you can do is hope. You know, whatever it is that you're doing in life, whatever project you have, you know, you have to finish it out through the end. You have to go. You know, there's going to be huge bumps along the way and there's huge doubts, but you have to just go. So, you know, I just went and hoped. And luckily for me, made it out okay. Didn't make any money, but definitely survived the evening and, you know, did what I needed to do and had the conversations I needed to have on show day to make sure that everything went smoothly and fine and it went okay. So, I mean, I think that's probably the biggest story I could share of facing, you know, scary, unique times. And just, you know, I know it's not an answer that really gives somebody something to write down and make sure they do.
No, but I think it's a perfect answer. And what I mean by that is because people leave out those feelings. I loved that you were just very vulnerable to share the exact feelings. That's what I'm talking about. Because when someone's listening, I heard this one podcast and the lady was like, well, I was literally homeless and did this. And then I started this business and made $100,000 in my very first year. And I know I'm sitting there listening going, okay, what happened between you're on the street begging for food and then you opened a business? Like, what happens in there? I mean, and none of that's ever shared. And I don't think the feelings of people look at successful people and they don't think about there is anxiety, there is tears that are shed, there is fear, and you do have to be willing to take risks. And I do love the one thing you said, which I'll point out if people didn't catch on. It's like, you have to see things through to the end. And so often I see people with a great idea, they get committed, and then they get a bump in the road or they get a roadblock and it's not looking good. And so they decide to bail.
Yeah, I think that's a common trait amongst some of the most successful companies is there's going to be those huge roadblocks. There's going to be people telling you that your idea is stupid or, you know, it's a bad idea and you shouldn't go forward. The thing is, you know, whatever it is you start, you have to finish it. Because if you don't, you'll never know how close you were. All it takes is one instance for you to have, you know, huge success. you know, in, you know, your podcast, for instance, could end up number one on the charts. And then before you know it, you know, you're getting asked to be a guest on news shows and magazines and everything else. So, you know, you have to do everything all the way to the end, you know, put your full heart into it and ignore the outside people who say you're doing it wrong or you shouldn't be doing it at all and just go.
Right. So that leads us to our next question, which is awesome. You've kind of already given us this, but still, what advice would you give to others who want to be entrepreneurs?
I would say the number one thing is make sure whatever subject matter you go into for your business as an entrepreneur, make sure, one, you're knowledgeable about it, and number two, make sure you have some heart in it, some passion. And like we talked about earlier, make sure it's something that you get excited about sharing, and not because somebody gives you money for it, but because you love to see the people's eyes and get lit up when they finally understand whatever it is, you know, that you're offering. And if you follow that trait and, you know, as we mentioned earlier, just stick to that honest relationship between business and consumer, I think everybody could be successful. How big and, you know, what amount of success you're going to get from that, you know, I don't know. But, you know, at the end of the day, like I've mentioned before, you want to be able to wake up and look at yourself in the mirror and feel good about what you're doing and not feel like you're forcing yourself to do anything.
Great. So why don't you just tell us again some of the exciting things going on and where people can find you and how they can find your book?
Yeah. So I have a couple of things going on, as I mentioned. The first thing is podcastingpro.com. You know, I'm interviewing other podcasters and producers and finding out how they produce their shows and you know, why they love podcasting. Because I really want people that have ever dreamed of, you know, owning, you know, their own podcast and hosting their own podcast, I want them to be able to learn how to do it. So with that, I also made a book that I mentioned, and you can get those on Amazon, the Podcasting Pro Basics or Start a Podcast. But, you know, I also give that away for free on my site. If you want it as a PDF, you can go to podcastingpro.com/freebook and you can get that one, and that'll put you on my email list, and I'll send you some cool podcasting tips along with that free book as well. And so that's my goal there, to help people start their own podcast and you know, get perfect at it. And the other thing that I have is the podcast book, which if you're like me and you have a commute, you know, you have a lot of time to kill along the way, and you know, listening to the same album of music kind of gets boring. So, you know, I have a couple of my favorite podcasts and I'm always looking for more to listen to inspire me, especially in the business and entrepreneurial category. And so I decided to put this book together. I used all the latest chart data and looked at things like how often do podcasts come out and listed the runtime, so you can kind of find a new podcast that you like that fits within your schedule. So check that out. That's on Amazon. Just search the podcast book 2017. It's a black cover, and I hope you enjoy it if you decide to pick it up.
Great. Well, I'm sure that many people will. I know I'm going to check that out myself. I'm always trying to, you know, my philosophy is you always stay a student. So you've always got something to learn from somewhere, even if it's one gold nugget that comes out of, I'm an avid reader. And so I read a lot of books. And my philosophy is that if you walk away with one gold nugget, it was certainly worth it. And I always have I know what you mean by saying that you were really proud and accomplishment of that book, because it's almost like giving birth to a child.
Yeah.
By the time that you start from the beginning, I had never written a book. I was always going to write a book. And then suddenly I was approached by Wiley to write Direct Selling for Dummies. But it was a 350-page book that we did almost in the exact same time frame that you did. Now, fortunately, they helped out with some of the cover design and some of the layout, but, you know, we wrote all those chapters in a very, very short window of time, about 4 to 5 months. And it's on top of everything else I was doing. And when that finally came out and you actually had it in your hands, or you can see that finished work, it's pretty incredible. And so I admire anyone who does a book. And always really encourage people to check it out, because we can always learn from other people's experiences and from their talents. And so I think it's great. So I hope that everybody will check that out. And thank you so much for being with us today at Work From Your Happy Place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends. And be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.